Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. This is producer Douglas Scott Wolverton. We start this edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison with a replay of an interview recorded between Matt and assistant coach for Virginia basketball, Coach Getter. This was recorded last Thursday right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Here's Matt and Coach Getter.
We're back. Final segment on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and I really look forward to this segment and have been all week. It's Coach Kyle Getter. He's on the staff at Virginia, and our connection to him is through some mutual friends. Coach Getter spent time at Hanover College both as a player, as a student assistant, and then as an assistant men's basketball coach back in the early 2000s, and he, of course, is a national champion as he talks to us today, a part of the Virginia team on Monday night that defeated Texas Tech in overtime. First off, Coach Getter, thanks for taking a few minutes for some guys in Southern Indiana to catch up with you on what's been, I'm sure, just an unbelievable run through the tournament and, of course, the championship experience on Monday night. I know you guys have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of celebrations, I'm sure, to attend, and we're very appreciative and happy for you as well.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Matt. Greatly appreciate you having me on, and look forward to visiting with you guys here.
Well, we want to talk about some of the great moments of this wonderful NCAA tournament, one of the best that I can remember. And, of course, kind of get a bird's-eye view, maybe some behind-the-scenes discussion about how exciting it was to be part of a national championship team. But before we get there, you've been on this program before. You came on when you were an assistant coach at Liberty, I think either the day of or maybe the day before your team played at Assembly Hall a few seasons ago. So you've made some personal transitions in your coaching career as well. Tell us how you got from Liberty to Virginia.
Yeah, no, I remember being on the program back a few years ago, and I'm originally from Ohio, went to Hanover College, like you mentioned, and in 2008, I came to Virginia and worked for Richie McKay at Liberty, and we had Seth Curry on our team and had a great season, and that spring in 2009, Coach McKay joined Coach Bennett at the University of Virginia as his associate head coach. Coach Bennett had just been recently hired at UVA, and so I went to VCU and then worked at Radford and then went back to Liberty in 2015 when Coach McKay returned there as a head coach, and that's kind of been my connection to UVA, you know, just having worked for Coach McKay twice, and his relationship with the Bennetts. Coach Dick Bennett was a coaching mentor of his, and Tony Bennett was one of his closest friends. So, that was able to open an opportunity for me here this past year, and, just been blessed by the opportunity.
Talking with Kyle Getter, he's the director of recruiting and player development for the Virginia men's basketball team. He's with us today here on the Hoosier Report. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament. I've got your games, your scores in front of us. Wow. I can't imagine being a coach, being involved, being on the bench for some of those close contests, for some of those great games that you guys were a part of, including, of course, if anybody can't remember already, a overtime national championship game on Monday night.
Yeah, it's been surreal. It's really just been an unbelievable experience to have the type of season that we had and especially with what happened last year, our guys were just laser focused, and our theme this year was United Pursuit. And, I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, we did it as a collective unit. You know, if you look at all of our games in the NCAA tournament, you know, we had a multitude of guys, different guys, step up in each game. You know, if you go back to the Purdue game when, you know, Mamadi Diakite tapped out an offensive rebound off a free throw, and Kihei Clark, who's a freshman, had the poise to throw it back to Mamadi, who hit a last-second shot to send that game into overtime. And, you know, then Kyle Guy, an Indiana product there, making, you know, three clutch free throws against Auburn to put us in the national championship game. And then DeAndre Hunter, you know, just having an outstanding game in the finals there against Texas Tech. So, you know, we've had a different guy step up, and that's kind of how it's been all season for us. So, yeah, you know, it just really was fitting that our theme was United Pursuit.
When I watch Kyle Guy step to the free throw line for those three free throws, Coach, he seemed to be the most calm, cool guy in the entire arena. And then afterwards I heard him interviewed, and they asked him about that, and he said, "I was scared to death, but I just didn't show it." That was a magic moment for any fan, I believe.
Yeah, and he's just such a great person. You know, I was so happy for him to be able to have success on that stage. And it's funny, you know, I had a bunch of people send me messages saying that as soon as, you know, the announcers that, you know, they're watching the game say former Mr. Basketball from the state of Indiana, you know, they were saying, "Oh man, he's probably practiced this in his driveway," you know, hoop growing up a million times before. But yeah, just, you know, happy for him, and, you know, couldn't happen to a better person. And he deserves, you know, the amount of success that he's had. I mean, he's really had a great career here so far in 3 years, being an All-American twice and, you know, all ACC. And then, you know, to be able to do it on that stage was huge.
Kyle Getter is our guest. He's a coach at Virginia, national champion Virginia. He's the director of recruiting and player development with us today, talking about the national championship. I've kind of got a two-pronged question here for you, Coach. Outside of the national championship moment when you won it, is there something already, as you think back through kind of the dream that's happened, as you said earlier, that stands out to you as a defining moment or something that you will always hold special? And in addition to that, after you did win the championship on Monday night, can you explain what the evening was like? I can't imagine the celebration, the text messages, the people congratulating you and the coaches and the players, and, of course, the celebration that took place back on your all's campus.
No, sure. So that's a great question. So, you know, first, I would say winning the ACC was definitely a marker for us. You know, the ACC is, you know, one of the most competitive conferences in all of college basketball, and, you know, being able to compete against the likes of Duke and North Carolina and Louisville and Virginia Tech, and, you know, just for us to be able to win, you know, win the conference, I think was quite an accomplishment. And I think, you know, that in itself, just, you know, that was a grind. And we talked about it throughout the year because we had quite a bit, quite a few, I think three or four Saturday Mondays. You know, I remember one specifically, we played Duke at home on a Saturday and college game day at like 6 p.m. And then Monday we had to go play at Carolina. And we're all sitting there thinking, oh man, this is going to be a grind, you know, just two huge games in a, you know, a short amount of time. Well, then you fast forward to the national championship and you're playing Saturday, Monday, you know, and it's the same setting. So I think that definitely prepared us. But I think, you know, just us being able to compete and win you know, the ACC, that was certainly you know, something that I'll always remember. And then, you know, just you mentioned the amount of texts and people reaching out. It's been awesome. It's been overwhelming, but in a good way. I think it's just makes you feel so good to hear from so many of your friends and family who are, you know, giving you support. And you know, we after the game was over, you know, to see the former players, Virginia players who, you know, Coach Bennett had recruited and coached here, you know, to be at the game and then back in the locker room. And, you know, they're as big a part of this as anybody that played, you know, on the team this year. You know, we call them the bricklayers because they laid the foundation. So to be able to see them celebrate as well, you know, was awesome.
Coach, it was good to be sitting at home watching on TV and see Ralph Sampson in the stands, that player I haven't seen in a long, long time, but they're in support. Let me ask you about winning the national championship. What does that mean for the program in the future as far as recruiting or anything else that might be involved in that way?
No, that's a great question. Ralph Sampson, he's certainly a great ambassador of not only our basketball program, but our university. So we appreciate all the support that he's given. And, he certainly, helped put Virginia basketball on the map, back in his playing days. But I think, just in terms of how this will affect our recruiting, we're really going to try to recruit the same type of players that, we have. And I think, a lot of that is, it has to be the right fit. Coach Bennett is, he's always talking about building a program that lasts. And, we want guys that, align with our program in terms of his five pillars that he's built this program upon. And, we want talented players. I mean, don't get me wrong, but we also want five-star people. And I think, just the resolve and resiliency that our guys showed in those close NCAA tournament games, I think, the character was able to come out. So, we're looking forward to continue to build upon this.
Kyle Getter is with us. He's on the Virginia staff, national champions on Monday night, and joins us today on the show. I've got to talk some about your time and our connection to you, which is a graduate of Hanover College, just down the road a bit. You were an assistant coach there before you left as well to continue your coaching. Maybe some comments on your time at Hanover, and also you're from Miamisburg, Ohio, so not too far away from the state of Indiana. So you've got a great impression, not just in your time as a coach, but also I'm sure as a player, of what Indiana basketball is all about and what Indiana players have turned out to be, some of the great ones. And you've got a great one in Kyle Guy, as we've discussed. But maybe just some comments about Southern Indiana and Indiana basketball, and of course your time at Hanover as well.
Sure. So actually my wife is from Connersville.
Okay.
And her dad, Larry Miller, was a coach at Southwestern there, high school there in Hanover, a long time ago. And I met my wife at Hanover. And just to give you a little bit of, my friends teased me. They said, man, you certainly knew what you were doing marrying a girl from Indiana, because I guess they had some water damage at the Spartan Bowl on their floor. And they, cut pieces of the floor and, sold them and auctioned them off for a fundraiser or whatever. And, next thing you know, my wife had a piece of that floor shipped to our house down here in Virginia. And we got a coffee table with as a piece of the Spartan Bowl.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I think, Coach Mike Beitzel gave me my start and at Hanover. And, he really, I owe him a lot. He trained me up, and him and John Miller, who's the head coach there, they trained me. They trained me, what was needed to be a coach, what it was like, how to recruit, and all those things. And now I look back at, some of the guys that I went to Hanover with, and, Brandon Hoffman is one who, won a state championship there at Silver Creek, and, relationships with BJ McAllister and Brian Bowen. And I could go on and on about the guys that, just the Hanover basketball family, David Benner, Hank Whedon. I mean, those relationships are certainly ones that I appreciate very much. And, Hanover's a basketball school, and I'm very thankful for my time there.
Kyle Getter of Virginia, our guest. Coach, I guess this has to be the best off season. Of course, everybody hates when the season comes to an end. We dread the end of the high school season, but at least we know we still have the NCAA tournament, the Final Four to look forward to. Then after Monday night, that's basically a wrap. I guess NBA playoffs get a little more interesting to us when things get further down the road, especially the finals. But this will have to be the best off season probably that you've ever had as a national champion. You can enjoy it and all the festivities and the special things that come along with it all off season long as you look ahead and prepare to next year.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. We arrived back in Charlottesville on on Tuesday, and, you know, with the police escort from the airport to our arena, the streets were lined with people and fans, and just to be able to see their joy. And then we got back to our arena to a few thousand fans. And, you know, I just think that it was awesome. It was just, you know, kind of gave you goosebumps a little bit. And, you know, our basketball program is certainly, you know, strives to be a part of the, you know, not only the university community, but also the community of Charlottesville. And, you know, I think, you know, just brought a lot of pride back to us, you know, just to be able to do that. And looking forward to, we're having a big celebration this Saturday at Scott Stadium, which is our football stadium. So looking forward to celebrating the championship there.
Kyle Getter, he's the director of recruiting and player development at Virginia. Very kind, Coach Getter, to take time out to join us on this Thursday program and talk hoops with some Southern Indiana guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, that's an interview, again, recorded 8 days ago here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison between Matt and assistant Virginia basketball coach Kyle Getter. We'll have more of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison following these commercial messages.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. That first segment obviously was recorded. That was Kyle Getter on the coaching staff at Virginia. We had him on about a week ago to begin our Friday program today. And back with you live the rest of the way here in this 11 o'clock hour, or if you're listening in the replay hour, 3 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. As always, in this segment on Fridays, we talk IU basketball. We do so with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. And this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. You can brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-through and their fourth location, Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, now open near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Jared, there's a lot of moving parts right now with IU basketball, and of course the most recent was an addition in Joey Brunk, who will transfer as a graduate transfer to IU from Butler. He'll be immediately eligible and have 2 years of eligibility beginning with the upcoming 2019-2020 season. You've spent a lot of time the last few days, over the last week, kind of doing some, I guess, investigation work on Joey Brunk and exactly how he could fit into the IU lineup, the IU roster for next season, and some of his qualities both on and off the court as well. You recently did that with Alex on the podcast On the Brink. I thought that was a great breakdown of things. So I want to start with you, with Joey Brunk and that subject, on how you feel like he can fit in and what his qualities could be for this IU team next season.
Yeah, I think he can fit in really well. I mean, I think he feels – a really big void that the Hoosiers had in terms of post depth. You know, I think we all have high expectations for Deron Davis as a senior, but Deron's been a guy that's fought through injuries and conditioning issues. And so, you know, you really need someone behind him that can play 15 to 20 minutes a game regularly and be ready to step in, you know, should Deron get injured, which, knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen, of course, but you need some insurance there. And with Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester leaving, you know, Indiana was a little bit thinner up front, you know, but now you have Brunk, who's a guy who, you know, he's 3 years removed from high school. This guy is physically mature. You know, his game is pretty mature. He's been a really efficient offensive player. In fact, if you look at, you know, his numbers, his efficiency stats, his, you know, per possession numbers at Synergy, he's actually been a more efficient offensive player than Deron Davis. And we know how efficient Deron has been. So, you know, Joey's a guy who can score. He's I think, more athletic than people might think. So, you know, he's good on the move. He's been good in the half court as a cutter. He can get up and down in transition. You know, defensively, I think there's some room to grow there. He hasn't been a guy who's defended the post very well in one-on-one situations. But, you know, you bring him into a defensive system like what Indiana is building and the way that Archie Miller coaches, and you would expect to see some growth there. So, I think he's a guy who can play a really, really important role on next year's team and really help solidify the front court, you know, because now you've got Deron, you've got Joey Brunk. You've obviously got Trace Jackson Davis coming in, who we all have high hopes for, although, you know, he's going to be a freshman and is going to struggle at times to adjust to the college game. And you've also got Race Thompson and Justin Smith, depending on where you foresee him as an upperclassman. He's played a lot of four, although, you know, there's obviously still the hope that he can develop more of an outside shot and be able to play more on the wing. So you've got a lot of options now down low with guys who can do some different things, certainly some depth, some size, some strength, some maturity, and you're going to need all of those things in Big Ten play. So, you know, I don't think this is, you know, the kind of addition where you say, okay, well, you know, I was kind of projecting Indiana as a bubble team. Now they're a for sure NCAA tournament team. And I don't think it's something like that. It might not be quite as impactful as what Max Bielfeldt was in 2016, simply because, you know, he was such a good shooter. But I think it can be, you know, close to that, and certainly a lot more impactful and consistent in terms of production than what Indiana got from Evan Fitzner last year.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. You mentioned Brunk playing potentially with Deron Davis or Trace Jackson Davis in the low post at times for Indiana. And that's been, I don't want to call it an area of strength, but it may, or an area of concern necessarily, but it's been an area where at times Indiana has suffered a bit. It'll be a little different, at least to me. And that, this is knocking on wood that Deron Davis is healthy and that Trace Jackson Davis is good to go for his freshman year and can contribute out of the gate as many think that he can. And, of course, Joey Brunk figuring things out in the offseason with this IU program as well. But it'll be a little different for IU fans watching a team with three legit post presence, I would think. That alone is going to be interesting to see how that works out and how Archie Miller utilizes those guys either together or separately this next season.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's the thing. When you start kind of looking at lineup combinations, you know, you want to try and assess, okay, what do these guys do well and what are they missing? So especially on the offensive end, you know, you've really got guys that are good with their back to the basket, especially Joey and Deron. Guys that are good passers, you know, that are going to be able to find open guys on the wing if they get double teamed. What they don't have, and what you ideally would like to have in your modern big man, is the ability to step out and hit shots. You know, we haven't really seen that from Deron Davis. Joey, I think, did it some in high school. We haven't seen a lot at the college level. We're not sure where Trace will be with that. You know, Race Thompson is a guy who was known as a decent shooter in high school, but we haven't seen that from him yet. Same thing with Justin Smith. We know how inconsistent he has been. So, you know, the thing that these guys are lacking is the ability for one of them to step out and space the floor. And so I think, you know, unless that develops, you're really going to have to play some high-low. You're going to have to play to your strengths, you know, which is going to be, you know, probably crashing the offensive glass because these guys are good offensive rebounders, you know, and getting buckets on the block. So, you know, you may not have the kind of floor spacing that ideally you'd like. If you could have a four-man that could step out and knock down a corner three, you know, or hit that three on the wing, but you do have some really skilled, tough, physical guys that if you play to those strengths and if you're always surrounding them with three guards and wings, you know, who can make shots, you can certainly develop a very good offense with that.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest talking IU basketball today. We've talked a lot about Brunk, obviously, this week. We've talked a lot about the open scholarships and some of the high school seniors that IU is involved with that could potentially fill those gaps for next season scholarship-wise. And as we get more and more, I think this weekend coming up is really the second big weekend of AAU ball or travel basketball or the shoe-sponsored stuff, whatever you want to term it or call it. As we get further into that, coaches will have an opportunity soon to get out on the road for a weekend in the spring and see some of these guys. But as we get more into that season of basketball and we look ahead to the 2020 class, which would now be the oldest class of kids playing travel ball, followed by the 2021 class, guys that are sophomores now that will be juniors very soon here once summer break arrives. What are some of the priorities? What are some of the positional needs? What are some of the things you think Archie Miller and the staff will really begin honing in on and recruiting for in the next coming classes? And I'm not talking about 2019, but beyond that.
Well, I think in the modern game, shooting is so important, and you've got to get shooting. So I think in every class, you really want to bring in good shooting. You know, Indiana is doing that with Armon Franklin. I think he projects to be a very good shooter. You know, they've obviously got some guys they're recruiting in, you know, for the next class that can do that well. So I think you need that. I think you also, with the style that Archie wants to play, you know, you need guys who are versatile. You need guys who are good communicators. You know, you need guys who are going to help you build and maintain the culture you want, which is why, you know, a guy like Ethan Morton out of Pennsylvania is so high on so many people's lists. He doesn't necessarily have one particular skill that jumps out and grabs you. He's just kind of good at everything, you know, and so I think you're going to need some guys like that. And then, look, you know, this is a game that, you know, in addition to shooting, is dominated by guards and ball handlers. So, you know, we just spent a lot of time talking about how important it is, you know, having the flexibility down low, but you win in March with guards. And so I think, you know, that's the other thing is you pretty much every year, every other year, you really want to be bringing in some dynamic playmakers. You know, Christian Lander from Evansville is obviously a guy that's been talked about. Anthony Harris is a guy who decommitted from Virginia Tech and is coming this weekend, I believe, on an official visit. So, you know, Rob Phinisee obviously projects to be a terrific player for the next 3 years, but you need more. I mean, you can never have enough of those guys who can create offense, you know, with the ball in their hands. And I think Indiana didn't have enough of that last year on a consistent basis, certainly didn't the year before. And that's going to be the other thing that I think is always going to be a priority for an Archie Miller team.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, again, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, which recently opened its fourth location here in southern Indiana, this one located in Sellersburg. One of the more interesting things to me, Jared, when we get into this time of year and start talking about underclassmen, I know you did a great job talking about some of the needs and the potential ways the coaching staff could go to utilize some of the scholarships with younger classes. But one thing I think is going to be really interesting, after a 2018 class headlined by Romeo Langford with, of course, Rob Phinisee and other Indiana guys in the class as well from within the state, 2019 headlined by Trace Jackson Davis with Armon Franklin there as his running mate, I'm going to be interested to see in 2020 and in 2021, not only who emerges as the can't-miss players from within the state of Indiana, and I think we've got some idea of those guys already, although a lot can change over the next few years, but also who Indiana targets the most. And, you know, I assume, and you've got to believe with what Archie Miller said from the day he got the job, that he's going to try to lock down the borders of Indiana. And if you were just scoring Archie Miller, if you're an IU fan and you're just scoring Archie Miller on recruiting and on locking down the borders, I think you got to give him a pretty darn good grade so far with who he's been able to retain in state, especially when you are headlined one class by Romeo Langford, the next class by Trace Jackson Davis. But I do think it'll be interesting to see, can Archie Miller keep up controlling players within the state of Indiana, keeping them here in state? And if they can, who will be some of the next round or two of in-state guys that might make their way to Bloomington here in the next year or two?
Well, it's a huge question. I mean, it's the lifeblood of the program is being able to recruit not just Indiana, but the surrounding states, you know, Illinois and Ohio. And I think so far, as you said, he's done a great job. Obviously, you lose out on Keon Brooks and you would have liked to have gotten him, but he's done a good job with it. And I think, you know, obviously they've zeroed in big time on Christian Lander early on, and I think with really good reason. And there's some other, you know, kind of high-profile guys in that class. The 2020 class is the one that's going to be really interesting because you've got guys like Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, who, you know, are not five-star guys, you know, but seem like they could be really solid contributors. You know, like, they seem like the kind of guys that that Wisconsin would take and thrive with, you know, developing them over 3 or 4 years, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see what Archie does, because obviously they are involved with some other guys like Caleb Love and Ethan Morton, who are not in-state guys, who are ranked higher, who, you know, just how they project would seem to be better players. And, you know, you don't want to just recruit the state at the expense of getting more talent. There does have to be a balance there. And yet you also want to, you know, not, you know, you want to maintain that foothold in the state and not, you know, get people upset with you because you're not taking good players. So it's going to be interesting to see. They've been recruiting both of those guys. Neither one has an offer, to my knowledge, yet. You know, will they get one? Leal especially, who's, you know, from right up the road in Bloomington, you know, grew up an IU fan. That's going to be an interesting one. And I think, you know, for me right now, I'm certainly willing to trust the judgment of the coaches, you know, and their evaluations of players. And I think just because a guy has a certain number by his name, you know, we've seen before that the numbers don't mean everything. They've got to project to your system. You know, you've got to believe in that guy as a player. So that's going to be really interesting to see what they do there, and some of it's going to depend on what some of these higher-profile out-of-state guys end up doing, and obviously how the in-state guys progress, because a lot can change in the course of a year.
Jared Morris is our guest. We're talking IU basketball. Earlier this week, the Big Ten announced conference opponents already for the 2019-2020 season. We know that Indiana will play Purdue, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin in home and away games. Home-only games against Iowa, Michigan State, and Northwestern. Away-only games, Illinois, Michigan, and Rutgers. I think, when I look at that, at first reaction, and of course, a lot is changing as we speak with players leaving for the draft, and there's still some recruiting, incoming transfers, 2019 guys making their decisions late that can affect other teams in the conference. And I think the Big Ten, at first glance, will be strong again next year. But at the first look at that, Jared, I think that that's a pretty good draw or a pretty good layout. Of course, we don't know the dates and the rotation of the games and things like that. But at first glance, I think it's a good draw for Indiana. I'm curious what you made from the Big Ten's announcement earlier this week.
Yeah, it seems like it is. I mean, the two best programs in the conference, or two of the three best programs in the conference anyway, in recent years have been Michigan State and Michigan, and you only have to play them once. So that certainly seems good. It's better than, you know, having to play them twice. You know, you never quite know with these things because there's so much time between now and then, as you alluded to, that you don't really know yet who are going to be the good teams and, you know, who are not. And the context is always important. You know, people look at Michigan State's schedule and it's like, wow, it looks like they got an easy draw. And, yeah, they don't have to play Michigan State, you know, because they're so good. So, you know, I think it does look like a decent draw for Indiana, but some of that's going to depend on, you know, how good is Wisconsin. You know, they don't project to be as good, you know, with losing Ethan Happ, but, you know, it's Wisconsin. So who knows? You know, obviously Purdue is going to, you know, probably lose Carson Edwards. How good are they going to be? You have to trust that they're going to be pretty good because, you know, I think Matt Painter has earned that. So I think just by virtue of only having to play Michigan State and Michigan once, it does look relatively favorable, but, you know, I wouldn't read too much into that yet until we know who's coming back and then really start seeing how these teams gel in November and December.
Jared, overall, the Big Ten, your early thoughts on that? I see a conference that once again could, I think, could put a number of teams in the tournament, a conference that not just the top two, three teams will be strong, but I think, you know, down to the middle part of the conference. And as we know, there's no really easy game in the conference when you're talking about road games especially. Do you think that it once again can be a really strong year for the Big Ten?
I think it definitely can. I mean, I think there's really good coaching in the Big Ten. You know, you've got some players like Cassius Winston that are absolutely outstanding. You know, but the Big Ten also projects to lose a lot of talent. I mean, you know, if Carson Edwards goes, you know, what guys from Maryland end up staying? You know, Bruno Fernando, Anthony Cowan, those guys, what do they end up doing? You know, same thing with Michigan. I mean, they're definitely losing Charles Matthews. I believe Ignas Brazdeikis also said he's for sure going to stay in the draft, as Jordan Poole as well. So you're going to lose a lot of good players, you know, to the NBA, which you would assume, you know, when the conference had a season like it did. So I don't know if it will necessarily have the non-conference punch that it did this year, because the overall talent level may not quite be as high with only one incoming McDonald's All-American and Trace Jackson Davis. I believe that's true. I think he was the only incoming McDonald's All-American to the conference. So we'll see. But I think the conference, just as it was this year, is going to be deep and is going to be – and Ohio State projects it better. They have a really good recruiting class. But, yeah, I think it'll be a deep, knockdown, drag-out conference, just maybe not with – you know, I think Michigan State's going to be really good, but then those second, third, and fourth teams – that got really good seeds in this year's tournament, I don't know if you're going to have those teams there. We'll see. You know, teams emerge that maybe you don't expect, but it doesn't, just like Purdue did last year, because no one expected Purdue to be quite that good. But it's a little bit harder to see that right now.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, always with us on Fridays. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, their fourth location now open in Sellersburg. Make sure you check it out. It's right by Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Jared, always great to chat, IU basketball especially. We'll talk with you again very soon.
My pleasure, Matt. Have a good weekend.
And just another recruiting note to pass along. Remember a player named Matthew Hurt from Minnesota? IU was involved with him at some point. He's got a list now of Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina, and he is going to decide later this afternoon what his college destination will be. So no real connect there between Indiana. But one thing that is interesting, we're talking about Trendon Watford and his recruitment. Duke is on his list. Duke has not offered him a scholarship, even though it's mid to late April, and he's a senior that's going to make a decision, we think, within the next month, but definitely at some point in the near future, so he can sign and get that, you know, done with. Now, that said, if Matthew Hurt does not choose Duke, if he goes to Kansas, Kentucky, or North Carolina, the question becomes, then does Duke go maybe to one of their auxiliary guys like Trendon Watford and offer him a scholarship? And could that change, you know, maybe an IU getting a commitment from Trendon Watford? So a real loose connection there, but it is something I think worth paying attention to later this afternoon to see where Matthew Hurt goes. He's a good high school basketball player who I think will meet an impact player for whatever school he chooses. And I believe that announcement is scheduled for sometime in the 4 o'clock hour later this afternoon. So that'll be interesting to see because I know a lot of fans out there. I hear from a lot of you. Trendon Watford is a big target, not just because he's a good player, somebody that could be an impact player potentially as a freshman for Indiana to join Trace Jackson Davis in the recruiting class, but also because his brother was a great player at Indiana. And, of course, everybody knows the big shot against Kentucky, the Watt shot, as it's called. So I know IU fans would be really, really thrilled to see Trendon Watford come into the fold for IU's 2019 class, and still a number of things to figure out with that, and still looks like a little time until that decision is made. But I will be interested to see what Matthew Hurt does today and how that could affect Duke still on his list, maybe getting a scholarship offer for them, or maybe Duke will go off of his list and it'll be down another school from which he is going to choose from. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will be with us. We always talk basketball, recruiting, and more with Kyle when he joins us, and we'll do that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Friday program. It's Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He's with us today. And Kyle, I want to start with the NBA and with the Pacers. They've got a big game coming up on Sunday in Indianapolis. And, of course, the Pacers find themselves down two games to Brad Stevens and his Boston Celtics. So it's one of those important, I think, pivotal moments if they're going to make any kind of charge or run at this first-round series with the Celtics.
Yeah, game three tonight and then game four here on Sunday. So, you know, big weekend for the Pacers. If, you know, if it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen tonight. You know, you go down 3-0, and I'm not sure that'd be a, you know, position the Pacers could be able to come back from because, yeah, it's just too big of a hole. The unfortunate part for the Pacers is they did everything but win that game Wednesday night in Boston, you know, up in the fourth quarter, and then Boston goes on that 16-0 run, and then the final minute, you know, after the Pacers had kind of withstood, you know, Bogdanovich at two big threes, and you feel like they kind of withstood the run, and then they completely melt down in the final minute, and you know it just kind of fell apart late in that game. So you know it's a team definitely mad, a team that you know without Victor Oladipo. You know is completely different than they were with him, and if they still had him. You know, if that injury wouldn't have happened, you know, during the season, maybe it's a completely different story right now. I think they still, you know, they're still giving Boston trouble. It's just, you know, they don't have Kyrie Irving. You know, and Kyrie Irving was sensational the other night in game two. And really, you know, the Pacers don't have anybody quite to that level. So, yeah, I've been helping out the Pacers here after the high school season got over, and it's been fun to cover that team. And just kind of feels like, you know, tonight's going to be absolutely huge. You know, if they can win this game, then, you know, then you got a chance to even the series on Sunday. So that could
could really turn things around. Boston's not as talented as they are. They're not as unbeatable as maybe people thought going into the season, and they're also, they're also not fully healthy either. Playing without Marcus Smart, but tonight the series I think really hinges on tonight. If the Pacers can make it a series, it starts tonight, and then we'll see what happens on Sunday. But you lose tonight, it's going to be really, really tough.
It's hard to not think about what could have been or what might have been in this series or in the playoffs or with the Pacers had Victor Oladipo not been injured and out for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, and that's the first few weeks after Oladipo's injury, they held it together. The schedule wasn't really rough at that point, and they were able to kind of navigate through there and play pretty well without him. And then, here in the last month or so, once March started, the schedule toughened up a bit, and you could kind of see the cracks in the armor, so to speak. So, there's still a lot of good pieces. This Pacers team has really put together pretty well, and Bogdanovich is a much, much better player, than he was even a couple years ago. And you got a lot of other good pieces. Miles Turner has not, defensively he's been great. Offensively, they've got to find a way to get more out of him in this series. But a lot of good, Darren Collison, Doug McDermott has played pretty well. They need him to play well tonight, outside shooting wise. But really, if they can get their big guys going, Turner and Sabonis, they really have a shot here. But those two have not, performed up to kind of what you expected them to. But I think the Pacers will win tonight. I think the crowd's going to be excited. Game three at home, you get a playoff game at home. And the way they played the first two games, they've had their chances. It's just, one bad stretch in game one in the third quarter, and then a bad stretch offensively in the fourth quarter on a Wednesday. And other than that, they've probably played overall better than the Celtics. So it's been frustrating for Pacers fans to watch that, because for large portions of those games, you felt like they were the better team, honestly.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, my guest, starting our conversation with the Pacers in the playoffs, and I got to admit, I say this a lot, but I'll watch tonight's game, I'll watch Sunday, but it's really some of the first NBA basketball that I've watched because of the same reason you're there covering. High school's over with and college is over with and some of the other things we love over with, but still, playoff basketball I enjoy, and especially as it gets further into things and you get down to the Western Conference Finals and, of course, the NBA Finals as well. Kyle Nedrip with the Star, our guest. Kyle, one of the things that you and I this time of year find so many things to talk about surrounds the recruiting process of kids, and there are so many events that go on. People, I guess the casual fan, and this has changed because of how widely covered recruiting is and the off-season basketball is, but there was a time when people thought, well, the state finals are over with, so these kids probably maybe do some off-season work, play a little bit here and there, but that's about it. Everybody knows now these top-level players, there really is no break. They go right from high school basketball to travel basketball. Many of them play on teams that are sponsored by shoe companies, and a lot of that part of it has come to the forefront recently over the last year and a half or so because of the FBI investigation, this college basketball scandal that has rocked programs, namely Louisville, right here in our area. But with that said, that season is getting underway, and it's getting underway very quickly. I think this is like the second weekend where really the travel ball season is really going on with some good tournaments and kind of getting a chance to see the kids and the teams that they're playing with in this offseason, who's playing with who. And then, of course, later this month, Division I coaches get a chance to come out and watch the kids play with their travel teams. One thing that's going to be completely different, instead of the big July weekends, three periods when coaches can get out in July, there's going to be one. In replacement of some of those other periods, there's going to be an NCAA regional camps, which is going to be interesting to see how they put this together with the number of kids they're talking about inviting to the different locations. But one of the changes I think you and I probably most interested to see what happens is in June. They're now going to allow Division I coaches to come out for a couple periods in June. And one of the tournaments that you and I have always followed and always been at over the years has been the great Charlie Hughes Invitational, which is like a summer championship, really, because all the big programs in the state of Indiana play in it. It's the high school team. That's the month when you go with your high school team. And this year, that tournament is going to be played once again in Indianapolis, but college coaches, D1 coaches, will be able to be in attendance. So it's going to be really different this year, not just across the country with recruiting process and live periods and who can be where when overall, but it's going to be very different in Indiana to see a tournament like that with a lot of great high school programs from our state. And you look on the sideline and hopefully there's Archie Miller or Matt Painter or other Division I coaches in the stands watching the kids play.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of, you know, I guess I don't have a take like this is terrible. You know, I talked to a lot of people who cover recruiting, and I was actually out at the Adidas event, Midwest event here over the weekend. And you know, you talk to people and you know, a lot of the guys who cover recruiting are definitely on they think this is a terrible idea. You know, it takes July sort of away and doesn't allow the coaches evaluation to have as much evaluation, I guess. You know, they'll still be able to go. I think it's the weekend of the Peach Jam. They'll still be able to go out in July and for a 5-day period and watch during that one period. But other than that, like you mentioned, the two June windows are open now. You know, so I guess the bottom line to me is this going to be good for the kids? You know, I think that's what, ultimately, when you look at all the changes that were made to these recruiting windows and evaluation periods, to me the biggest thing is it's not necessarily about the top 50 guys or the top 25 guys. And as much as I love watching those guys play against each other, like in the UIBL, which we'll have here again, it's later. It's in May this year, but it'll still be here in Indy. Or in Westfield, but that'll be in May. But, you know, I think to me the biggest thing is, are those guys who are kind of on the fringes going to get seen? And I'm not sure this is the best thing, you know, for those guys because, you know, you're locking out the July period more. The kids who are maybe, you know, the sixth, seventh guy on a good AAU team, probably not going to get as much evaluation. But I think the positive side of this is that you do get to see kids, how do they fit in with their high school team and you know, how do they play for their high school coach? You know, how are the AAU coaches, and I'm friends with a lot of them. I know a lot of really good AAU coaches, and there's a lot of them who are doing it for the right reasons and everything. But, you know, those coaches need you to play for them. So there's a different type of coaching going on there. I think it'll be maybe beneficial to see how kids and you know, these college coaches aren't able to get out all during the high school season all the time because of their own season's going on. So this is maybe a chance to see them in a little bit different environment. And I'm not sure this is the best thing, you know, long-term that this set up, but I'm also not, I kind of want to let it see how it plays out a little bit before, you know, you just go off thinking, well, this is the worst thing in the world. But I will say, you know, as our state of Indiana is probably more set up for this. I think there's going to be good people from the IBCA involved in doing this, where other states aren't ready for it. And there's a lot of them who have just punted on it and said, you know, we're not going to be able to do this. You know, and you definitely feel for those states and those kids in those states, what's going to happen? Are they going to be able to play in front of coaches at all? And so I think here we're lucky that it's going to work out. The Charlie E. Shootout has been like you mentioned, a great event for a long time. I can't imagine what Charlie's, how he would be reacting to this, you know, knowing him, he would have loved this, opportunity to have this happen. I got a chuckle out of that just thinking that the other day, what he would be thinking right now, or, you know, what our conversations on the phone would be like. But, I'm yet to see, you know, I think we'll see, you know, what happens from here before I want to make a blanket statement. I know there's a lot of people against it, but, you know, I think in our situation here, it might actually not be a terrible thing. But I think you have to think of those kids who are on the fringes. Are they getting, you want as much evaluation. I guess that's kind of the bottom line. You want as much evaluation as possible. And for, you know, those kids who are maybe a fringe college, you know, fringe D1 player or whatever, you know, even D2 or whatever, you know, just a chance for them to get seen enough, you know, I think is maybe the bottom line of all of these changes.
Kyle Neddenrip with the Indianapolis Star. Kyle is with me on Fridays. We talk lots of basketball, and, of course, Kyle busy right now covering not only his normal stuff but the helping with the Pacers coverage as well. So, Kyle, thanks for the chat. Enjoy the playoff game tonight and Sunday as well. I can't imagine of a better place to log some work hours than for an NBA playoff game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So enjoy that.
Oh, definitely. I had a chance to cover, our beat guy was gone for the Nets Pacers game, the last home game of the year, and sitting there courtside, it reminds you of how, you know, how special athletes those are, and just how good they are as NBA players. It's a fun game to see up close. Any type of basketball is fun to see, but that at that level, it's really amazing.
Absolutely, Kyle. Thanks for the chat. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Matt. Thanks.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, with me Fridays. That's going to wrap up the week here on the show. Again, good week of programming all over the Joey Brunk commitment. We had Joey with us yesterday on the show. We had his high school coach, Kyle Simpson, with us earlier in the week. So make sure if you missed anything, there's plenty of ways to connect with us. If you can't listen live at 11 o'clock on 1450 or 96.1, don't forget the replay at 3 o'clock. And if you miss one of those shows or one of those interviews I was talking about, we're on Apple Podcast. It's really easy. Just open your phone, open the app, search the Hoosier Report. I really would ask you to leave us a positive rating and a good review as well. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a podcast about what we talk about, IU basketball and more. So please do that for us. Check that out if necessary. And we're also on SoundCloud as well, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Thanks so much for being with us today. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday at 11 o'clock with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star and Chad Gilbert, and a lot more coming your way then, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.